this afternoon. Could we turn, please, to John chapter 11? John chapter 11. You may or may not remember that I've been looking at the I am sayings of the Lord Jesus, so called, in John's Gospel. And we've done four of them so far, and this will be the fifth, John chapter 11. And then there are two more that you will find in John chapter 14 and 15. But John chapter 11, I just want to read the verse, and then we'll fill in a bit of the background around about it, just for the sake of time. Verse 25 says this: Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that'll do us for our reading this afternoon, and we do trust with God's blessing. So the story of John chapter 11 is one which I feel like I've told quite a lot over the last few weeks, but we come to John chapter 11 and we find there there are two things that happen in the chapter. One thing that happens, and I'm sure that if the Lord Jesus hasn't come, we'll get round to dealing with the events of John chapter 11, but one thing that happens is a man dies and the Lord Jesus raises him again from the dead. And another thing that happens is, in the midst of all of that drama, in the midst of all of the commotion of the death of a man called Lazarus, the Lord Jesus says something here in John 11 verse 25, which, if I get a grasp of it, will change my life. If I get a grasp of it, will change my eternal destiny. And it is this. The Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. The events of John chapter 11 can be summarised just like this. The Lord Jesus is a distance away from the place called Bethany that we read about in this chapter, and he receives notice that his friend Lazarus is sick. He seems to be particularly untroubled by it, and he tells his disciples that they won't go yet, they're going to wait a little while, and then they'll go up to Bethany. He tells them quite clearly that this sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God should be revealed. And so they seem to be relaxed about the whole thing. The Lord Jesus seems to be relaxed about the whole thing. And then later on in the account, he makes this declaration. He says, Lazarus is sleeping. And they say, well, that's great. If Lazarus is sleeping, then that's the best thing he can do. To be sleeping is the best thing that I can be doing when I'm not well. And they say, no, I want you to be clear just exactly what I mean. Before we get to Bethany, you need to understand this. Lazarus has died. And when they make their way up to Bethany, the Lord Jesus encounters the two brothers of Lazarus, and they make it absolutely clear to him just exactly what is at stake here. They say, if you had been here, our brother had not died. And both Mary and Martha say that. And the Jews ask a question at the graveside, or on the way to the graveside, and they say, could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, not have caused that this man should not have died? And they see the evidence in the scriptures. They see the evidence in the life of the Lord Jesus that if he were there, then things would have been radically different. But what we find here is that he was not there. And in explaining to Martha why it is he was not there, he says this: your brother shall rise again. Your brother shall rise again. He's clear about that. It is a truth that is taught in the Bible that those who have trusted the Lord Jesus will rise again. And he says, look, she says, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Here's a woman, and she knew all about Daniel chapter 12. And she knew that there was a promise that everyone eventually would be raised again from the dead. That some would be raised again from the dead, and they would live forever in joy and in peace and in harmony. And there are others who will be raised again from the dead, and they'll be punished for all of eternity. And he says, no, no, there's something more immediate for Lazarus than that. It is true, and it is still true, that Lazarus will rise again at the last day. But there's something more immediate available to Lazarus than a resurrection at some point in the distant future. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And in John chapter 11, what you have is a resurrection promise. A promise that there is available to those who have trusted Christ, resurrection from the dead. That even though our bodies will go into a grave, and they will, unless the Lord Jesus comes first, our bodies will go into a grave. And although it will seem like that is the end of the thing, there is available to us resurrection. There's a resurrection promise. But then down the chapter a little bit, and we're not going to dwell on this too much, but you'll see resurrection power. Because the Lord Jesus doesn't make empty promises. In fact, in the word of God, it says this, that all of the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. He says, which basically means if God makes a promise, it's as good as done. If God says something to me, then I can absolutely rely on it. That's why we stand up here and preach here on a Sunday afternoon. Not because we think that, well, there's a bit of dubiety about this, or because we have nothing better to do with our time, but because we are absolutely certain that if the word of God promises something, it will come to pass. And so there's a resurrection promise, but there's also resurrection power. And when the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, in just a few verses' time, he walks down to a grave and he raises a person from the dead. He raises a person from the dead in a way that has never happened before. He doesn't go up to a bed, you'll find that. In the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha, they'll go to a bed and there'll be a child and it'll be lying on a bed. And you'll find a man and he's thrown into the grave. And just in the moment he's thrown into the grave, he's raised again from the dead. And you'll find the Lord Jesus come to a girl who has died and she's just been dead for an hour or two and he raises her from the dead. And you'll find the Lord Jesus and he comes to a funeral procession. Probably within 24 hours of the man's death, he comes to a funeral procession and he touches a coffin and that man gets up as well. But here in John chapter 11, what you find is a man who's in the grave and he's been dead for 4 days. And his body has gone well beyond the point of return. That there are those occasions that we see, particularly in the media, of people who have been starved of oxygen for just a few minutes. Something that seems just so fleeting, just something that seems just to be very quick. But yet their brain being starved of oxygen is catastrophic. And there's almost never any return from that kind of thing. Here's Lazarus and he's been dead for 4 days. His heart has stopped beating, his lungs have stopped working, his brain has stopped functioning. And yet the Lord Jesus, his body has begun to degrade, and yet the Lord Jesus says to that man, in all of his decay, and all of the sadness, and all of the difficulty of that situation, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And so he makes him a promise. He makes a promise to Martha. And then he backs up that promise by a display of his power. But that resurrection promise and that resurrection power, we'll discover in just a minute or two, is possible because of a resurrected person. Because the person who's making the promise, even although it hadn't happened yet, was going to go to the cross at Calvary and was going to die on my behalf. He was going to bear my sin in his own body on the tree. And you know something? He was going to be taken down and he was going to be put in a grave. And he was going to be put in a grave for 3 days. But it wasn't going to take someone else to come up to a grave and roll a stone away, unwind bandages and all of that kind of thing in his case. But rather, he had made a promise that he would lay down his life and he would take it up again. And that in dying, what the Lord Jesus was going to do was he was going to go into the same place that every single person who has ever lived before him, with the exception probably of two, has gone into. He was going to go into a grave, but only for a short space of time. And he was going to come back out of that grave, and he was never, ever going to die again. And he was going to be the first person in the whole of history for whom that was true. Those men who, and those kids that we were speaking about who were raised again from the dead, you know, they died again. But the Lord Jesus Christ was raised again from the dead, and he has, the Bible says this, that he now lives in the power of an endless life. That it will never, ever be the case that Jesus Christ will die again, and that because that is the case for him, it's the case for me as well. I was speaking to a man just a few weeks ago, and he would have maybe called himself a Christian, and he would maybe have claimed that he believed a lot of things that I believed, and he started to pull the thread a wee bit and discovered that he didn't believe very much at all of what I believe or what the Bible teaches. But what he said was this, that when Jesus died, well, he was never really raised again from the dead with a body. He just was kind of, he used to come up a bit like a ghost and went into heaven and all. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches this, that the Lord Jesus came out of a grave with a body. And that because he came out of the grave with a body, so will I. That death, which seems so final and which seems so fearsome, has been defeated, has been overruled, has been destroyed, the Bible says. The Lord Jesus has gone into death, and in doing so, the Bible says he has destroyed it. And he's destroyed the grip it has on people, and he's destroyed its finality. And he's destroyed its fear, because he's been raised again from the dead. And he shows that with the case of Lazarus. He stays away because of this reason, that people have said if he was there, he would not have died. And that's absolutely true. You know, if you read your Bible, what you'll discover is that when the Lord Jesus is there in a room with a person, you'll never see a person die. Even on the cross, when there were men beside him who were dying, he died first. And then they died. Jesus never sees death, is never present when a person dies. And so the Lord Jesus, he stays away and he says, this sickness is not unto death, at least not finally. He says, but rather I want you to see something that will blow your mind. Something that will make you glorify God, because there's no other explanation for it. If I go into the room and Lazarus makes a recovery, you can attribute that to something else. But when I go to the graveyard and I raise him up from the dead, there's no doubt about how that happened. Has to be the power of God, has to be the glory of God. And so when he comes to the grave and his sisters say, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Martha also attaches another little phrase, which Mary doesn't, but says, but I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And he makes her a promise, thy brother shall rise again. And then he uses that I am beginning that we've thought so much about. That speaks about how he is God, and as God was able to give life in the very beginning, he's able to give it again. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Says to a person who seems to be facing death, a person who for whom death is a reality, for whom it is coming. I always, when you think about it, it comes at an alarming rate. 70-odd years is not a long time. But it comes very, very quickly. And he says, even though there are those who have died, if they have died believing in me, yet shall they live. Yet shall they live. He says, people look at death as final. And in many ways it is, it brings to the end an earthly life. And sometimes when you listen to a committal, you will hear the statement made that we commit this body to its final resting place. Well, the Lord Jesus said, well, not for the Christian, it's not. He said, it's not a final resting place, because though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, see that thing that we've looked on for centuries as final, that thing that causes us so much grief, and much of that grief is caused by loss, so it's all going to be reversed. Yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asks her a question, which I want to ask you today. And we almost always, when we're quoting that verse, never ask the question, believest thou this? Believest thou this? If I was to ask you what your hope is, what would you say? Almost uniquely, not uniquely, but almost uniquely in the Christian faith, we're able to say this. Our hope is a hope of resurrection. There are maybe one or two religions that would suggest something similar. But John 11, the question is asked, believest thou this? Because the hope for the believer in the Lord Jesus is that even if I die, and that is not a guarantee, because the Lord Jesus has promised that he'll come again for those who are his own. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that there are those who will be in graves and they'll be raised again from the dead. But there might also be those who are alive and remain. And those who are alive and remain will also be caught up, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. But I'm asking you, not what does the Bible say, not what do we preach here, but what is your hope? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe, are you confident that even when you go into death that you'll be raised again? Are you confident of eternal life with God? Because that only comes one way, and it doesn't come through a good life, and it doesn't come through crossing your fingers, and it doesn't come through wishful thinking. It comes through a belief, a relationship with the one who is the resurrection and the life. The Lord Jesus always frames these statements with, well, he always enters in with that phrase, I am. And then he always uses a little word which is vitally important, the. I am the resurrection. Not an entrance. I am the entrance. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the way. As we'll think about the next time, God willing. The truth, the life. And he asks her, believest thou this? And listen to how she answers, and see in there a template for how you should answer. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when I recognise that this one who we're reading about and this one who we're speaking about is the one who is the Christ, the anointed, the sent one of God, the one who is the Son of God, when I believe that, I can face death with absolute certainty. A certainty that is absent for people who have not trusted Christ the Saviour. I don't know if you've ever stood at the grave of a person who has never trusted Christ the Saviour. No hope. But here, real hope. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. In Revelation chapter 20, there is a place that is described as the second death. A place that is reserved for those who have never trusted Christ, not for us, shall never die. You see that resurrection power just over the page when they come to a grave and they see a man, and his sister is absolutely clear about it. He says, it's been 4 days and we're in the Middle East. His body stinks. He's begun to decompose. And he says, open that grave. Roll away the stone, which is there supposedly permanently. Roll away the stone. And I'll show you something that you could never have imagined. And he uses his name and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes out, and the Bible says he was bound with grave clothes, hand and foot, and his face with a napkin, and he says, let him go. And he's able to say those kind of things to him. And he's able one day to say those kind of things to me. Come forth. He's able to say that to me one day because he himself has been raised again from the dead. The book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer tells us that just as we are made of flesh and blood, so the Lord Jesus took part of exactly the same. He was absolutely like us. He was like us in absolutely every single way, apart from sin. And he lived a life in this world that in many ways would be just like yours. He felt the same things that you feel. He experienced the same things that you experienced. And he reached the same point that almost every man and woman in history has reached, the point of death. And it says that he entered into death, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Deliver them. Let him go, he says. Take grave clothes off, not required anymore. He is able to deliver those who through fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. Because he has been raised, we can be raised also. Because he lives, we shall live also. And the question for you today is, having heard the resurrection promise and having seen resurrection power, are you trusting in the resurrected person who says of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's pray. Father, we come this afternoon in the Lord Jesus' precious name, and we give thanks for him.